Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, monthly album roundup for the month of January 2022. I am your host, Robert, and, Wii Sports is coming back. But is Matt coming back as well? This is the question that needs to be answered. And with me, I have...
You all only have a few hours left to listen to this before the Super Bowl starts, so get on it. Also, Kitty goes meow.
And...
Something, I inserted is a thing I was going to say, but I forgot because I went to sleep.
But, wait, what the hell was I going to say too? I forgot too. But you know what we didn't forget? Albums. Because we never forget that around these parts. And the thing is, normally, as we've sort of come to expect by this point, January is kind of, well, pretty much by all media metrics, a dumping ground, whether it's film, music, probably video games too. January is just always where it's like, you know what, I just don't fucking care. Just put it there. You know, kind of like back in the olden days when anime would air at like 4:30 in the morning on Cartoon Network. Those were glorious times. But, surprisingly, there were at least a decent handful of things of note that came out this past January. I almost feel like it's parallel to last year when the year started off with Steven Wilson somehow. But we'll of course get to that in due time. As always, we're going to start off by recapping what exactly came out in the month of January 2022. This is just a brief snippet of some of the more noteworthy, interesting things. There's probably one or two things that slipped through the cracks, but in my defense, they probably weren't all that interesting. So, starting right at the top, even before the first proper Friday of the year, we got a brand new release courtesy of electronic producer Burial, with an EP titled Anti-Dawn. Then, getting into the first proper Friday of the year, January 7th, we had a new project from RuPaul with Mamaru. We had DS Forever, courtesy of new red flannel winner Gunna. And, well, okay, you know by this point, The Weeknd, on very short notice, deciding to drop his brand new album, Dawn FM. See what I mean when I said January started off with stuff? Now, moving on to January 14th, 2022, there was, unfortunately, a new Under Oath album called Voyeurist. There was, even more unfortunately, a new Skillet album called Dominion. There was a new EP from Saweetie with Icy Season, sponsored by McDonald's. There was a new project from Corday with From a Bird's Eye View. And again, speaking of noteworthy stuff to listen to, there was a brand new album courtesy of Earl Sweatshirt with Sick! Exclamation point. And there was also the brand new mixtape from singer FKA Twigs with Capri Songs. Now, before we get to the next Friday proper, there were a couple of noteworthy releases in between. Specifically, a brand new full-length album from Japanese singer Utada Hikaru with Bad Mode on the 19th. And then on the 20th, a surprise new EP from Rich Brian with Brightside. Now, moving on to January 21st, 2022, we unfortunately had a new EP from Asking Alexandria called Never Gonna Learn. On the flip side, at least, there was a brand new full-length album from Boris with W. We had a new one from Canadian alt-rock band Billy Talents with Crisis of Faith. There was, oh boy, Ian Dior, You're Here, with a new studio album On to Better Things. There was a new mixtape from Young Boy Never Broke Again with Colors. And the guy from 24 dropped an album called Bloor Street. You know, the guy who thinks he can replace David Hayter as Solid Snake. The key word is think. You will never be Solid Snake. Anyway, moving on to the final Friday of the year, January 28th. There was a new album from extreme metal act Kralis with Crystalline Exhaustion. a new self-titled album from deathcore band The Last 10 Seconds of Life. There was a new project from Steve Vai with Inviolate. We had a new album from shoegaze act Cloakroom with Disillusion Wave. There was a new NLE Choppa mixtape, Me vs. Me. There was Earth Gang with Ghetto Gods. And unfortunately, I'm pretty sure there was also that Kyle album that was released as an NFT. Please see the previous full-length episode for our thoughts on NFTs. Or just, you know, use context clues like they tell you to in your grade school English classes. But, yeah, so, not super jam-packed in terms of sheer quantity, but there was stuff here and there that was certainly worth giving a listen to, including maybe a thing or two that I probably let slip through the cracks on this list. I'm sure someone will be there to let me know. But anyway, now we of course move on to our own specific recollections of what we were listening to this past month. As always, we leave it over to Alex to get things started.
Okay, and sadly, I have to inform you all, I did not listen to that new Skillet album, nor did I listen to that new Aaron Lewis album, which by all accounts is a big old case of, well, that happened.
Oh, God.
I don't remember any of it, but it happened.
There was a fucking Aaron Lewis album?
Yes, oh, boy. And it had that one terrible song on it, and by all accounts, every other track is bland, forgettable country music.
Dear God.
Listen to Chris Stapleton instead.
Yes, anything but Aaron Lewis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stained is in the bin permanently. Yeah. So yeah, now to get to my pickings here, and I will start with the latest of the Lost Not Forgotten Archive series from Dream Theater, The Majesty Demos, 1985 to 1986. This is... well, the earliest known demos from the band, dating back to the mid-80s, with lots and lots of early material, mostly instrumental tracks, one-off takes, a fun cover of Rush's YYZ, if you want to get Canadian about it, and there are a few vocal takes of rare deep cuts, like Another One and Your Majesty, and it's a fun time capsule of what a couple of Berkeley dropouts were capable of out of the gate. I'm also probably going to try and get those on CD because I'm at the point where I feel like CDs have become just in the right sweet spot to become sort of collectible. They're not quite nostalgic, but they're also not quite retro. They're just sort of in between. They're no longer a commodity, but they're not quite a novelty. It's hard to explain, but I like to get some of these on the CD. Some the couple ones that I didn't get to mention because cutoff dates for our, you know, November, December. They released two live albums, one from 2002 that had them playing all of Master of Puppets at a concert in Barcelona, Spain.
Really?
And one from 2004, yeah. And one from 2004, a concert of them playing their whole first album, which you mean they unite, live in Los Angeles. Along with a couple of extra tracks featuring former members Charlie Domenici and Derek Sherinian. It's a pretty cool concert. Can someone please sort out the legal licensing limbo that the first album has? Can somebody get in contact with Universal about that, please?
Wait, there's legal trouble surrounding it?
Yeah, most of their albums are through Warner, or now Sony. The first album, it went through a couple of labels. It's now currently in the hands of Universal. I know this because I have the new vinyl release that came out a couple years ago, and Universal is on it.
Huh.
Well, we're on the big three.
Yeah. Don't get involved in the music industry, kids. It's terrible.
And how.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll check back in on their next couple of releases that are coming out in the next few months. It'll be a fun time. And now for this Steve Vai album, Inviolate. I'm only talking about this because of one reason. It's not the album. The album is just instrumental shred guitar. You know what you're getting into. Just take your pick. I'm mentioning this because of the totally whacked out guitar concept that he had made for this, the Hydra guitar.
How does that work?
It is a 12-string half fretless neck, a full 7-string guitar neck, a 4-string half fretless bass neck, all with every kind of pickup, single coil, humbucker, piezo, MIDI, with a sympathetic 13-string harp along with a whole bunch of steampunk tchotchkes. It's kind of mad.
Huh.
I see a lot of wacky guitar designs. I know the guy from Cheap Trick has like a weird 6-neck guitar thing that weighs like 50 pounds or something.
That is true.
I mean, sure, it makes for a fun party trick, I guess, but like, there's no way you can actually play that whole thing in one shot.
No, probably not.
I'm wondering if that was meant to be a display piece for Winter NAMM this year. But, yeah. I'm not expecting this to be a full production model either. Otherwise, it would cost like $35,000 and there'd be only 3 made in the whole world. But whatever. That's guitar nerdery. That's for another day. All right. Now let's talk about one Mr. Burial with Anti-Dawn. And now, technically speaking, this is an EP, but if your 5-track release is 44 minutes long, then that counts as an album. Yes. I don't make the rules. I just follow them.
Yes. Yes, it does count as an album.
I know some Rush albums that are under 40 minutes. Those are considered full albums. I mean, Hemispheres has 4 tracks on it. That's an album. But anyway, yes, Burial has a new release that blends airy, atmospheric soundscapes with haunting vocal choruses. Like on the opening track, Strange Neighborhood, and the title track, Anti-Dawn, sounding like this is the soundtrack to the decaying days of our burning hellscape of a planet where all that's left in the vast deserted wastelands of the cities are just old TV screens picking up whatever signals they can, and it's just fleeting images of the fallen citizens begging for a way out. So I think it's a brilliant project, and it's one that works best when listened to in full. It's very intentionally atmospheric, especially with all of the vocal samples and filtering going on. Again, it's 44 minutes, but just put this on in the background, and you'll start to feel it take effect real quick. And now this leads me to, as the Westerners would say, Hikaru Utada with Bad Mode, fresh off of a smash hit with the final Evangelion movie and disavowing the gender binary in 2021, God bless.
And have.
Hikaru Utada is back with a new album, and off the bat, yeah, I'm digging the album artwork of Utada just dressed in a hoodie and sweatpants, just sitting on a wall going, yep, I'm at the top of my game, and I don't even need to do anything extra for it. Wouldn't we all be so fortunate to be that way in life? And to mention that song in particular, One Last Kiss, yes, it's on the album because it would be a travesty if it wasn't. And yes, Face My Fears is also on here, you know, the song from Kingdom Hearts 3.
Woohoo!
Which always makes me tilt my head when I remember that Skrillex is on this track, and is it wrong for me to say this has some of Skrillex's worst work on it?
I don't know. I think, personally, Skrillex's worst work is that photo with Jordan Peterson, but, you know.
Brain worms. Not even once.
But yeah.
Yeah. Like, just give me Utada singing this with a full band and I'll be good. We really don't need any of that, you know, extra production layers going on. Though I will give fair play to the A.G. Cook remix that's on the album as one of the bonus tracks. It's a better experience for it. And aside from that, yeah, the rest of the album is just strong-footed solid. Exquisite dance pop all throughout, like the title track, Bad Mode, and, you know, the 12-minute quote-unquote closer, Somewhere Near Mars, yeah, I hope I said that right. It's much more laid-back and vibey. And who doesn't like vibes around here?
Vibes.
Yeah. Also, apparently, just recently, there was an interview that dropped on Apple Music with Utada and Zane Lowe. It's only about 8 minutes long. It's a pretty good watch. Yeah. And this leads me to my solo pick of the month. And yes, it is one that you didn't mention, Rob, because it comes from my world, the weird section of abstract UK prog pop. Paul Draper, Cult Leader Tactics.
Who?
Some of you might know Paul Draper as the frontman of the defunct 90s alt-rock band Manson.
Who?
Exactly. This is an out there pick, but just trust me on this. This is an album. This is his second solo album. His first in, I think, 5 or 6 years or something like that. It's been a while. And it's presented in an ironic takedown of self-help books with some amusing current-day commentary about both the music industry on the opening title track, Cult Leader Tactics, and our current political hellfire on both sides of the Atlantic, with Internationale laying it out like this. While Parliament sleeps, those nationalists scream. Are they different from the Fuhrer himself? Mr. Johnson, you naughty boy, and Trump has had his day. Thank God we're out alive, but only for today. Salute the Internationale. But the true standout most people will take away from this is the track Omega Man, featuring, who else? One Stephen Wilson.
Hey, there he is.
Yeah. Complete with an arrangement that feels like it really could have fit in on the Future Bites. A lot of the arrangements on that track is just layered in dark synthwave elements. Also, it was apparently a true collab with Stephen Wilson, as they both wrote it. It was probably during those sessions. Maybe he was in that mood that day. Yeah, a lot of the arrangement on this album blends in more contemporary prog rock and pop traits with some more steady beats and grooves, and even some orchestral work blended in. But there are spots of 80s synthwave sprinkled throughout, like on Everyone Becomes a Problem Eventually. Just listen to it, you'll know what I mean. And special mention goes to the closing track, Lying About Who You Sleep with the lines, "So this is my life, got no career, no money or wife, this is all that is left, just these demos that were on my shelf." That's just modern musician life nowadays. This album doesn't always bat 1,000, though. There are a few moments here and there that are kind of eh, but the bulk of the material is exquisite prog pop. And I would recommend this to anyone looking for some more material like Stephen Wilson's solo albums. This is a very, very solid outing here. And if the pink and green album artwork does not lure you in, then you're probably not into this kind of music. It's a little out there, a little, like I said, it's UK abstract prog pop. This is a very niche taste and a very niche pick, even for me. But yeah, it's good. I'll be back later for the other thing.
Yes, we will. Anyway, now that Alex is done, we of course move on to the middle segment, which as always consists of Mark's picks. And, well, I mean, go ahead, Mark. Go ahead.
All right. I got about, like, not saying about eight, but eight picks from like seven to talk about now. I want to include something that I listened to during the December part of the season, the thing where we were, because I don't know, because I didn't want to go too much. But let me add this. Remember how last year when Alchemist dropped that Bodie James dropped that Super Tempo Bowl project? They dropped another one. Well, he did. Just Alchemist. Cycles, basically a score to a short film he did music for one of his friends, music director. And I'll say this, it's definitely, well, it isn't usual Alchemist stuff. It is like a film score in a way, like, you know, like, or but more very, you know, very ambient and kind of collected, like some awkward shit at an extreme, but yeah, it's pretty unique. Like, if you want to listen to it, the short film is on YouTube, in case you want to search it. Like, yeah, like I said, the it's called Cycles. You'll find it. Just like Cycles Alchemist, you might find it.
Yep.
Yeah. And now for the records to listen to this month. First off, of course, we've got the one that I'm going to bring up, obviously. Earl Sweatshirt with Sick! Inflation Point. Not looking at a lean 24 minutes with 10 tracks. Is that an album? Because I don't know anymore.
Yeah, it seems like... I noticed someone tweeting about this. Like, I guess the way people categorize albums and EPs is... I guess it depends on if you're looking at it at minute length or quantity of songs. And maybe some people look at it as a matter of both. It's weird. This whole industry is weird that sometimes.
Yes, it's weird. We like this album in a good way. In a good way, as Earl usually does. Like, he does. But, you know, like, of course, the album, of course, had the whole Sick multi going forward because... Get it, if caught in the wake of the, you know, pandemic, you know, that thing that's still going on to this day. Year 3 of this shit. And of course, it goes on with the track Old Friend, which got some recognition, Minimum Dutch cut himself, well, The Alchemist. Yeah. So again, Visiting the whole, you know, visiting the whole pandemic with, you know, stuff like, you know, Kevin Fever, and one of the things that keep helping my relation is. Weed sort of way, like, he also a lot of metaphors in this whole album, which was about fish. Like, there'd be some fish metaphors in this fucking album. I don't know what the old friend starts up with. Strong spirit where the body counts can't get asylum. The custom and hide don't cross the picket line and get the virus. Wildcat got him in the bind, stay inside. No, I came out the thick and smiling. Okay, I guess it's more of a story to, you know, towards the well, the dang. It's called the dang now. It's the dang. And I mean, and the singles, you know, singles you've listened before, like, you know, like 2010, which I figured reading into it, it says it's an homage to Matt Miller's track 2009, which is basically sort of like that, because on that track is a year that Matt Miller released his breakthrough mixtape Kids during the year. In 2010, or at least his breakthrough mixtape. Well, Earl in 2010, so I guess it's like that. Like, this even the title track Sick, which got some bars like "Something Gotta Give," "Spin Another World," "Head Home," "Mess with Fist," like I'm Spider-Man. Okay, get the lyrics there. It also got a snippet of a Nigerian multi-instrument Fela Kuti. I'm sorry if I said that name wrong. Like, during that track, but yeah, like. Given that, you know, with Earl's, you know, roots to that shit, which, okay, I kinda get that. There is some two tracks, by tracks I mean, the two longer ones, by that I mean 4 minutes, like, most of these tracks there are kind of really fucking short. Like, and two of them got, and those are two, so got fused them, like, on Vision, which we got Z-Lupus here, and I'll say his choice of, like, his lyrics is worth a five, but... There's one they got stretched too well. He stretched kind of like really, like, he says, make sure my mama do well, my bitches do well, my bitches shine like jewels. I want to say that was either stupid, but I kind of laughed a bit. And, alright, and that song, and like, okay, the song is fine, like, the song is fine. And of course, you got, like, the one. I think the one, you know, the one bigger song out of here with Tabla Rusa, which is Iron for a Blank Slate, yeah, which features of course with Arm & Hammer again, because they always seem to collaborate a lot, and of course that was with Lusa going like off the street. I'm broken links, but circle getting smaller. So like Revolve by Course of Cauldron. Course of Cauldron. And of course, you got him and Billy Woods. Like, yeah, I mean, you know, those two often get them, you know, eclectic bars in there. And it'd be some good shit on there. And of course, I gotta say, Titanic is still a fucking banger with Earl just working his flow off on that track. It's really gonna be really good. Like, this album, I'll say it, like, as usual, it does have, like, you know, like, good rate production, like, give what we expect from Earl. Although I will say it misses any sponsor on the beat like he did on that one track he did on that EP a couple years back. Yeah, you know the one. But yeah, like we was having like, you know, like you got the, you know, sick motif and again, it's not that you get in and get out, which all right, it's solid. We'll say rap is one of the best. I will say, like, I do like it. I just say, like, don't like as much as I like projects like I Don't Like Shit, I Don't Go Outside, or some rap songs. Probably not as high as that, but it's up there. You know, it's a pretty good project. And now for a second, another highlight of mine is going to AKA Twigs with Capper Songs.
Wait, is that how it's pronounced?
And look this thing up. Yeah, apparently that's how it's pronounced. I thought it was. Because apparently there's a whole thing with, you know, with the Capricorn, Capricorn Sun, Capricorn, that type of shit, that's up in your sign shit. Which, yeah, it got nothing to do with the drink.
Jesus Christ, I've been saying it wrong fucking month.
But anyway, like, I admit that, okay, I had checked a few AKA Twigs projects. You know, before going to this, I did check out that one before this, Magdalene, and I will say with this, it's definitely one that's, you know, that's very more accessible for those who ain't been on stuff before. Like, and obviously somebody might say, did she water it down? I don't think she did water it down. I think she just got a little bit more, you know, more lighter, more fun, at least something more by herself, something that she kind of needed considering all the shit she's been through the last couple of years. But yeah. Anyway, like it's anyway. Yeah, mixtape. It's a mixtape first of all. Yeah, like I'll say it's like basically her usual like blend of, you know, R&B like R&B great pop, a little bit of trap, and some hip hop because I think she raps on here. And when you hear on the track, I'm liking it enough. Fine, it's pretty good. You get some solid tracks here. What you got? Tears in the Club with The Weeknd, which I thought it was good. You got the one song with some name that I want to pronounce, but I can't do it right. Like you get the one track called Papamoose. You go up with a whole bunch of features here. Like you got, like I said before, you got Weeknd, you got Daniel Caesar, Georgia Smith. There's some ones that I'm not familiar with, like people like Shy Girl, Dystopia, Rema, Unknown Team. I'm guessing a bunch of. I know there was like some UK rapper that my knowledge UK rappers are not that wide. I'm sorry, like I don't know about throughout the bat, but yeah, like this is an interesting listen. Like I say, this is more, I want to say more fun compared to the last projects, but I say have someone who who would be in her stuff, like, yeah, it's pretty alright. I'll give it a shot. It was pretty, it was a good listen. So, yeah, I'll get that. So, yeah, I'll get it to go for it. Okay, next up, we got one that you did, like, you did point to me during the chat, but since the album came, the whole bunch came out, that is your old Droog and the guy Fahim with the Wolf of Wall Street 2, The American Dream.
Oh yeah, that did happen.
Yeah. And I think the cover has basically a wolf in an office. Like, okay. Or if nothing else, some coke. Just wolf with some coke, there you go. Sounds like a Pusha T album cover. Okay. Anyway, like I know there's a two that two the project released last year. In fact, Wall Street, the first one. And wow, I didn't catch it. I wanted to catch it at first. I did catch it later on, and I thought that was kind of fine. I like this one slightly better. Maybe because I don't know. I kind of give more listens. Give more listens going on. Like it's a short project. It's like 8 tracks, 20 something minutes. That's 27 minutes. Yeah, 22 minutes. As a matter of fact, man, these are some. Well, I guess more EP is what they call it, but yeah, fuck it. Like, yeah, like if you know, like if you listen to, you know, either both artists, you know, both artists, you know, they do, they be spitting, you know, very hard street bars, but it's very, you know, very unique and reproduction. Like a lot of track, No Days Up, where it got this trumpet, this trumpet sample that sounds like I'm on a cruise ship listen to some old Cooler Gang, some shit. Like, I like how they use that sample to work it. Like, it's like one of those old TV shows or something like the shit just sounds good. Like, and of course, all what they talk about, like both of us, they talk about how, you know, it's the hip hop that, you know, that's basically, you know, those that want that old gritty New York sound, but with a spin to it. This is it. These two got some good bars to it, and I gotta say, I've been bumping this a whole lot more, including separate songs. Like, I still bump No Days Off, I Days Off, but I feel like I have No Days Off, but yeah, that's just me. Of course, you got songs like War Cry, which they got a good name, and should be pockets, and kind of figure it, Travis got, you know, basically that Wall Street motif. Like, you got tracks like Wall Street with Briefcase, Bull Market, Should Be Pockets, War of Millions, Corporate Ladder, and I Won't Stop. I wonder if that was like you done the Quaaludes and then you pass out. But yeah, anyway, I gotta love this project a lot. I might be going back to it a couple more times if anything happens. But yeah, solid project. And now the next three are gonna be some speed rounds, aka hopefully I won't spend too long on this. Oh hey, look at the time. Wait, no, that's not it. It's Mugs O'Clock.
Huh.
Yes. You're concerned that the fact that, yeah, on the show, yeah, you know, he's for saying anything about for Griselda or Alchemist. Well, Mugs on that list too, because I've been looking at another DJ Mugs collab album or something. It is like a collab with a new rapper named Riggs with Gold. And I'll say, like, even though I never heard of Riggs, I know he's more of an underground rapper who's been doing things, but I'll say it's all enough. I kind of listen to the beats are fine here, rapping is okay. You got people, you know, more underground motherfuckers that I kind of recognize, like Mayhem Loren and Roman Streets, which I heard who's getting bigger. But I kind of, you know, dug this record a bit. So you see, I gave it a shot. It's like, yeah, it's all right. All right, next up, Brightside, Rich Brian. This EP he got, one that I had to find out, but it's like, all right, this EP is fine, because recently Rich Brian has been trying to get more. I mean, I think he's trying to be more experimental in his, you know, in his music. I think he's starting to sing a bit more. He's on to sing a bit more or something like that. It's fine. Like, it's fine. I say that I probably listen, but yeah, it's pretty good. It's all right. Then we got Corday from A Bird's Eye View, and I'm gonna say this. I know Corday, he got a good set of rapping skills on his belt. Like, I know he's a good rapper and all, but the project overall, I wasn't really feeling that much. I kind of get J. Cole vibes from him, but that's not a good thing considering my fault of J. Cole is always middling at best. I get what he does to get the attentions. I get what he's trying to do. Try to tell a story like most rappers, you know, coming out of his bus in jail, which I get that shit. And him trying to, coming up, being in the rap game, trying to make sure, you survive in this game. But it's kind of dull. I mean, I mean, some of the songs, the Subtomatic is fine, but it leaves much to be desired. I get the features or even they care as much. I'll say I'll give Lil Durk and her some credit on there on the feature on Chronicles, which I thought was good. The disappointing one for me is the Freddie Gibbs one on Champagne Glasses for some reason, because like he did some, he just used some throwaway bars where there's a line which is something about constipating or shitting, which like I don't think he either gave a fuck or I don't know, he just did just to say all right here's my verse, there you go. And yes, there's an Eminem feature on the remix of its track Parables. No, I do not care for it at all. So yeah, and I don't want to come hard on Cordae. I mean, he seems like a decent guy in real life. You know, he's a guy from what I heard. When I heard, considering the fact that we know him previously as the artist known as formerly YBN, since he left that group, and you know, trying to form something, which I get it. Good for him. But yeah, he must be desire. Features ain't doing that well. Even one forgettable feature that I didn't mention him because I know you're thinking, oh boy, you got a low light, don't you? And I gotta say, yes, I got a low light. And you know what a low light is.
You know, I remember when you brought this up off recording in the podcast, and anybody who listens knows we always have this joke where whenever there's a notoriously bad rap album released in a given month, I always give Mark the lead in of, please tell me you didn't listen to X. This was the month he listened to, well, fill in the blank.
Yeah, I listened to Gunna DS4 I know. Oh, you're thinking, why the hell would you do that?
I'm just going to go ahead and slide this bottle of whiskey over his way.
Okay, I got to bring this up for many reasons. Like, well, if it goes to one track or one track only, because this little track on the album got my attention. One called Poochie Gown. If you're wondering, what the fuck is that about? Apparently, this is gonna be his diss to Freddie Gibbs, in which he said that this would be the most important moment in Freddie Gibbs' career. And do you know what that lyric of that song involving him was? And it is, and I quote, "I don't fuck with Freddie Gibbs, niggas be telling fibs."
That's it.
Burn? Oh, that was lame.
Really? Yeah, that's fucking lame. Really? You're gonna hype all that shit up just say that bullshit? I mean, you could have found some dog on him. I mean, he got all the cash in that fight with Jim Jones back in a few months ago. You could have done something with that, okay with the Freddie Gibbs do his shit. I mean, do a diss on you, it'll be way better and more coherent than this bullshit. More coherent than your fucking album is. Like, I should have to go do why this album is trash. Because you basically get the same shit you get of a base. Okay, it's a typical trap record from a typical trap rapper. And yeah, I listened before, but I gotta remember why I don't go out to listen to this motherfucker. He may have good beats, but that's it. He just do just to him. Like, you got the annoying ass song Pushing P. What's it, Pushing P? What you got? Oh, look, another stupid lesbian line that sounds more cringe than the one in the Drake song.
Oh God.
Apparently, yeah, that's all you need to be top 3 on the Billboard 200.
Are you serious?
And debut at number 1 the same week another album came out.
There is no God.
Yeah. And of course,
I disagree, Rob. There is a God, and he's punishing us for all the stupidity in the world.
This is why I drink.
And yeah, I'm gonna say that was forgettable. I ain't got no shit to it. I ain't got no points to it. It's disposable. I mean, it's disposable track music. Meaning you may listen to it at first, but then you can forget about it. And I know usually I try to do like 2-3 listens to a rap, I mean, to an album. I did this once. I was bored by this fucking album. This was an hour length, or at least approximately an hour length, and it didn't need to be. This is basically Shonen filler. As a rap album.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, and wow, y'all. And once again, we'll come on the songs, except I don't care about most of these songs in here. No one cares about these songs in here. By the time the album dropped, like, the only song he listened to was that bullshit song. So yeah. In short, this album sucks. I know I should have done this, but I had to do it just to get that out of my chest. So yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Well, thankfully we won't have to think about that album again for the rest of the year. I mean, not unless I decide to finally pull the trigger this year and make us all do a worst of the year list.
No, we're not.
What's going to happen?
There's a reason for that. Anyways, now we move on to the next part here, where it's, of course, my turn to recap, you know, whatever albums I was listening to. And I mean, truth be told, not a lot caught my attention in the metal department, so it's time for other things to, take a step up here. My two top picks are ones that were already mentioned, so those are probably going to flow by a bit quickly. Of course, there was the new Earl Sweatshirt album, Sick, you know, one clocking in at around 24 minutes, so very succinct and to the point, but worth every second. And if you can tell by the title, there's definitely a lot of, you know, across all these very weird, surreal beats and a lot of these strange lyrical flows, a lot of lamenting about, you know, the pandemic and just how it affects, you know, presumably affecting his state of mind and just other miscellaneous topics in that ilk. I mean, the opening track, Old Friend, is literally him, like, you know, writing to someone that he hasn't kept in touch with in a while, just kind of lamenting things like the cost of living, cabin fever, some references to the constant rotation of odd future members, and, you know, smoking marijuana to deal with isolation, which is definitely something that comes up quite a bit here and there in the album. Of course, a while back we heard the song 2010, which has that weird fluttering synth beat that sounds like it's always being, like, you know, played forward and then rewound back throughout the entirety of the song, pretty much flowing freely from topic to topic, like, you know, 5-0s on me on the Olympics, Pure Gold, Something Told Me Don't Mix It, Caught a Feeling, Mama Had Me Out, Temple Not Religious, stuff like that. Of course, the title track with that sort of ride cymbal hissing underneath this very loungy sampled piano rhythm. Again, dealing with the topic of getting high to deal with the solitude of the pandemic so they don't go completely insane, as well as a handful of references and even a prominent sample of African music legend Fela Kuti. There's the two guest features, with, of course, the best being Arm & Hammer on Tabula Rasa. I'm not even sure if that's how I pronounce it right myself, but fuck it, that's what I'm going with. With, you know, the characteristic poetic, but also very, very, like, oblique and abstract flow and wordplay through all the various subject matters and whatnot. And, yeah, it's just more of Earl Sweatshirt doing what he does best and, you know, giving you a tight, cohesive package for it. Then, of course, there's the other top pick, which is that new Burial EP, Anti-Dawn, which the structuring here, like, I know Burial gets very experimental in his music, and definitely just as much here, where it's less a series of formal songs and more these sort of lengthy experimental sound pieces. Like, when it opens on Strange Neighborhood, there is some semblance of musicality with, like, those droning church organs throughout, but the song is, of course, coded in a lot of like, you know, feedback and static, those ethereal choppy vocal samples, and it just has this very, like, crackly sort of sound quality. It almost sounds like it's being recorded off of, like, some really old piece of media, like a vinyl record or, like, a fucking old-timey television broadcast, just with all the fuzzy static and all. Same with the track Shadows Paradise, though. That one does have something more of a melody buried within a lot of its numbing soundscapes. The title track similarly has more of those strange vocal recordings while having more of a hollow droning aesthetic, as well as the occasional sharp stab of swelling synths. With tons of just kind of what I'm pretty sure are just random like nature recordings, like blowing wind that's constantly shuffling around like leaves and setting off wind chimes and all that. And that's pretty much what you get throughout this entire album, a mix of experimental synthetic drone, weird remix vocal samples, and just lots of sounds of nature and all. But yeah, I mean, as far as like something you can throw on in the background to, you know, just sort of vibe to and get lost in, it is some pretty solid A stuff. Now moving on to just a whole bunch of quick picks here in the quick round. Boris with W. Last time around, we had a nice punchy album that heavily skewed towards hardcore punk. And now with this new one, Boris's style swings back to their usual MO of very low, you know, long and sort of sludgy droning music. Though the sensibility here is definitely somewhat like less musical saturated. I mean, okay, there's a lot of melancholic and oddly pleasant, you know, droning with those clean echoing guitars, the vocals being relatively more whispered and hushed, the very, very light drum work, mainly consisting of, like, light snare rolls and muted kicks, though occasionally you do get tracks like Beyond Good and Evil and The Fallen, which have more of that characteristic sludgy swelling heaviness to them. Of course, there's the new Rich Brian EP, Brightside, which is a pretty succinct 4-track EP, mostly existing to give Brian room to flex tons of bars and just flow his ass off on these beats, mixing rap, you know, the typical rap bragging ego with the occasional more introspective vulnerability. And of course, it does have probably one of my favorite jams he's put out in a while, the track Get Your Mans, which just plain goes hard as nails. Anyway, of course, Utada Hikaru with Bad Mode. It's pretty good stuff. Of course, being able to listen to the two big songs, One Last Kiss and Face My Fears, are, you know, a treat. I mean, I take it I'm one of the few people that doesn't think Face My Fears is all that bad, even if I do agree it's probably the weakest of the three mainline Kingdom Hearts, you know, themes. Then again, when you have to follow a song as perfect as Sanctuary, that's a tall order, even coming from the person who wrote Sanctuary. And yeah, you know, it's expectedly solid with a nice mix of, you know, subtle ballady tunes and more upbeat Japanese dance pop jams, with the occasional influx of, you know, jazzier lounge elements, and of course Utada's vocals just chef's kiss. Of course, we have the newest album from Indiana-based shoegaze act Cloakroom with Disillusion Wave. Basically, it's about more of the same from their first couple of albums, slow and steady shoegaze, but with more of a sludgy post-hardcore tinge with extremely rough production driven by very gritty guitar tones and a touch more dissonance to play off the usual, you know, shoegaze wall of melody and sound effects and stuff. As far as that new FKA Twigs mixtape, Capper Songs, I said it right that time, Capper Songs. Yeah, it definitely has some of her more unique production in her catalog, taking from, you know, the playbook of contemporary pop, R&B, and trap, and mixing in all kinds of interesting extraneous elements from the flutes to the clacking auxiliary percussion, dynamic synth melodies, plenty of heart-stinging bass reverberation, and all manner of strange sound effects applied to Twigs' vocal performances. And last, but possibly also least, Billy Talent with Crisis of Faith. And I mean, it's more Billy Talent. Sounds pretty typical of what they do at this point. Pretty much sounds like they have never left the Hot Topic. 6 years since their last album, and nothing's really changed. Alright then. But, of course, this is not where the podcast ends, because, yeah, we have to contend, of course, with The Weeknd already setting the bar high for, you know, the beginning of the year. Way to not leave a lot of wiggle room for people who want to be releasing some fire stuff. You know? But it's just exactly what we need to, you know, make sure that January isn't a complete and total wash. So, yeah, while we did have the song Take My Breath floating around for a good handful of months prior to, you know, the beginning of the year, just as the year was winding up, we were getting a lot of, you know, shorthand teases and mysterious social media postings from The Weeknd, and of course it all ultimately culminated in the release of his brand new album, Dawn FM. And yeah, the man is definitely not skipping a beat since After Hours became pretty much his biggest hit up by that point. And yeah, so might as well dive into the album, which pretty much up front tells you what its particular unique deal is. The music here is framed from the jump as this kind of hour-long experience through a radio station that's guiding the listener into the afterlife, as explained by one Mr. Jimothy Carey. Yes, he is, you're gonna hear a bit of him on this album, so strap in. Settle in for a nice listen of the radio station Dawn FM, Magic 103.5. Can you tell 106.never is back helping with the production?
Oh, not yes. Just him, but also you got Max Martin, and even in one spot you have Calvin Harris.
Oh yeah, he's a guy that exists.
Yeah.
Yeah, his material was much more acceptable in the 80s.
Yeah, and those are people like Swedish House Mafia, which actually makes sense because that one track he did with them is on the, well, I think it's on the alternative, shit, what's it called?
Yeah, the alternate world, a.k.a. the not deluxe edition, but it's a deluxe edition.
Right, yeah, you got him, you got the other, and apparently Boost Johnston of the Beach Boys. Yeah.
Huh.
That's weird. And that's weird, but yeah, I'll say with this album, is going more of a, you know, very, you know, 80s, like full on to the 80s synth pop the flavor. Like the first track of the intro with this Gasoline, which got him doing this, you know, this weird thing, his vocals, like, it's 5 a.m. my time again, I'm soaking at the moon castle.
Yeah, there's like this weird distorted decay thing going on, like just all warbled and weird and stuff, that is very appropriately surreal in the way you would expect from that intro bit.
And this one kind of relates to me. It's probably in my nihilist. I notice nothing after this.
Oof.
Okay.
You good there, man?
Yeah.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good. And then in the track, like, okay, one of my favorite songs on here, How Do I Make You Lucky, which, okay, that's with the whole dance pioneer, and the way he vocalizes with the chorus, like, he goes like, how do I make you love me? How do I make you fall for me? I can't do that half, but yeah, it's like,
yeah.
Like that, like, I was like, wow, I'm really digging this. Like, there's a lot of things I really dug here. Like, man, like with that, there's also, after Take My Breath, you get track about Take My Breath. That's a longer version on here on this album.
Yeah. Compared to the single, there's like that, you know, comparatively prolonged, like, you know, back half where it's just kind of letting the instrumental play out, that really great synth melody with, you know, that brief accompaniment where The Weeknd vocalizes, you know, in rhythm and melody with the beat. And yeah, I mean, that one already, like, you know, that's pretty much the point where you know the album is not going to be fair to anything else coming out this year, because when you have not only like that great single but also again Gasoline before, which not just the vocalization, but that chorus beat, that just that way that it builds into it from the verse, that is just a killer beat, one of Weeknd's all-time best. Mm-hmm. That's just not fair.
One of the points about this album compared to After Hours is that this isn't really quite single friendly. Like After Hours, you had Blinding Lights, Heartless, and Save Your Tears. This album is clearly designed to be listened front to back with the themes, with the concept, with the aesthetic that it's going for. So you're going to get a little bit more interlude sections.
Yeah.
Which I think is a good thing.
Yeah, and there's definitely some interesting ones here and there. Yeah, that whole kind of theme of, like, death and the afterlife. I mean, you probably could have picked that up just from the fact that the song is called Take My Breath, for example, and listening to the lyrics are very, you know, ominous as hell. Like, it's that usual kind of toxic romance thing that goes through a lot of his music, but the both of them sounding like they're on, you know, the verge of death and all. And speaking of just, you know, like tragedy, for example, in interludes, there's A Tale of Quincy, narrated by none other than music industry legend Quincy Jones, with that kind of just, you know, weird synthetic beat going on in the background as he narrates the very, very tragic circumstances of his family life. And yeah, that's kind of a tough thing to listen to in the middle of this album.
This is too out of time. Another track that, well, honestly, I feel of course is a soundtrack that got the city pop flavor, and of course I said in review, wow, this sounds like something you would hear out of an anime, and luckily enough, it samples a Japanese pop song called Midnight Pretenders by Toko Aran. So you can't believe for saying that. So, well, and kind of figured that there's been somebody like doing a mashup with that shit, and wow, okay, it can work. this song is incredible. Like that, and I want to say Sacrifices, another song that I just really love, maybe because that got a bit of I heard this song before. Like the sample of that, at least some information came from a song called "I Want to Think About Alicia Myers," which the chorus I get like, okay, that melody did sound familiar to it, because I knew I recognized that from like, man, this is really good. I get ya.
Yeah, there is some creative sampling to be found on this album, and specifically with some of these tracks, how they're themed. I believe the intention was to make this a response / counteraction to After Hours' more hedonistic tendencies, as this is meant to be the detox after all of that.
Yeah, and this is definitely aided by, like as Alex said, this is definitely an album that's meant to be listened to from front to back, and it's definitely conveyed through sort of the pacing of tracks as they go. So, like, as just to sort of recap, out from the intro, we get Gasoline, How Do I Make You Love Me, Take My Breath, and then Sacrifice, which, again, that's four, like, straight banger, you know, dance club jams in a row. Then you get Tale of Quincy. Then you go into Out of Time and Here We Go, which are, at that point, you're transitioning into more slower paced kind of songs. And this is definitely where, like, that sort of detox from the hedonism starts to kick in as it starts getting a bit more slower. Here We Go in particular is probably the most ballad-esque of any of the songs on the album. There's not really any percussion there at all, and it's mostly just these very minimal sensual synths. Like, this would be like a deep cut on like an 80s pop R&B album, where it's almost like a lament on fame or falling in love with a woman who's very, very famous. Oh, and there's also a guest verse on here courtesy of Tyler, the Creator of all people.
Yeah, I will say, the verse is good. I like the verse. This feel kind of short. Like, I feel like, I don't know, go on this type of production, but yeah, what I got from him is still solid.
Yeah, and then after that, we move into yet another song that's extremely, like, more upfront and melancholic, the track Best Friends. While it does sort of kick back up that sort of tight, thumping bass synth groove, the melodies are definitely starting to get a bit more melancholic at this point. As, you know, he laments about a relationship that he's in that's basically friends with benefits, but he tries to sort of forcibly keep it that way because he knows he's going to, like, fuck things up royally if he tries to make it, like, more than friends and shit. Again, that definitely continuing further down the detox route at that point. Oh, yeah, and then we get another one of the interludes, the track Every Angel is Terrifying. Which, I mean, if you've ever seen what angels actually look like, yeah. I'm pretty sure that's where they got the idea for most of the creature designs from friggin' Evangelion. I really gotta watch that last movie. And, oh, hey, yes, look at that. Should. It's the Weeknd's old friend Josh Softee doing the narration on this. You know, one of the Softee brothers, those guys, who did that movie.
Yeah.
You know, the one with the greatest scene in cinema history where the Weeknd punches Adam Sandler in the face.
It's always fun.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure this is where, you know, you mentioned there's like the not quite deluxe edition of the album. Where this interlude is pretty much like this tongue-in-cheek, like, advertisement for what I guess that would become. I mean, I'm pretty sure they had that planned in the margins, but yeah, it's a radio advertisement for something called Afterlife. Only $4.95. Just call the number on screen right now.
which apparently might be his next album after this?
Yeah, from what I understand, After Hours, Dawn FM, and whatever it's going to be, is going to be an intentional trilogy, which I'm game for that.
Yeah, pretty much same here.
Okay, so we have, you know, the hedonistic excess of After Hours, then sort of the transitional detox into the afterlife on Dawn FM. What the hell comes after that?
Shit, man.
Yeah, that's... But Lord knows if he somehow gets even more out there with this. I mean, like as we said earlier that there are quite a few producers working on this album here... But the reason I single out 106.Never in specific, you know, besides the fact that he has a few handful more credits here than on, you know, After Hours, this whole thing feels very much like a 106.Never idea. Like that, I mean, you kind of know from the moment it says Magic 103.5, because that's literally the same reference point for his last album, Magic 106.Never. And just his whole weird, ironic, well, maybe not ironic, but his surreal fascination with kind of like our collective nostalgia towards old media formats, like, you know, radio stations like Magic 103.5, kind of feels like it would very much fuel this idea of, like, the radio station taking you to the afterlife, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It doesn't give me miss those times when you listen to radio and you know, get into that shit, but yeah.
Yeah, and pretty much, you know, by the time it gets to the end, I mean, like, literally one of the last couple of songs is him cheating with a woman who's married. It's literally called I Heard You're Married. And then comes what is unfortunately probably the single weakest part of the album as a whole. Hey there, Lil Wayne.
Oh yeah, you're here.
Like, look, I get the logic here, because, like, I mean, who else knows more about marital infidelity than, you know, Lil Wayne, at least based on his lyrical content, but, like, oh my god, I just do not like the sound of that man's voice.
Yeah, maybe he just called in a favor since The Weeknd was on a track he did back in 2013, and, well, I guess 9 years is long enough.
I was like, here's the one that's just, like, here's the one that's kind of odd, That's the one death produced by Calvin Harris. I don't know. This was sort of off during something like this.
But yeah, I mean, that's like in an album that's already kind of like, you know, batting pretty high over here. I mean, the one low light, that's how you know this is a strong album. Even a Lil Wayne guest verse cannot kill the vibe. And then, of course, there's that very last, you know, closing narration thing. Again, Jim Carrey showing up to close things out on Phantom Regret by Jim. And that's sort of when the end of this album just starts getting fucking existential.
Yeah, and because it's come from Jim Carrey, I get it. It's Jim Carrey. I know y'all know. I know everyone know him from, you know, Ace Ventura and, you know, Robotnik.
To be fair to Carrey, he has done dark comedies as well as a handful of more dramatic roles in his filmography. But yeah, considering what he's famous for now is, or at least what he's been doing recently, is friggin' Robotnik. Yeah, this plain gets weird. Like this is almost like Cable Guy or Number 23 Jim Carrey. Run, kids.
And now I wonder, maybe on the next album, maybe now I got an idea, he get Adam Sandler
You know, it's really weird that he hasn't asked for that yet. Like we've gotten the Softy Brothers on here, we've gotten Jim Carrey, and 103 Point Never. Pretty much all those favors from Uncut Gems. You're really telling me he could... Actually, now that I think about it, do you think Adam Sandler still has harsh feelings about that one scene? And that's why he hasn't shown up on a Weekend album since? I'm just saying, that punch looked pretty convincing. But yeah, I mean, overall, again, this album as definitely not quite as pop-leaning as what After Hours was, but for what it's going for as a more cohesive, you know, album experience with that very surreal framing narrative, this is pretty much batting home runs, like, throughout damn near all of it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I know this album, for this album may not be towards everybody's cup of tea, but not everybody. This album actually, I get to love this album, like, more so the more I love, even more so After Hours. Like, that was just him, like, dipping into that more 80s, the more 80s aesthetic, and him dipping, it's like him going full on in with an aesthetic, coming out with basically one of the most extravagant and unique albums, in his career. And yeah, I'm gonna say it, while the year is still new, this is considered the album of the year for me. Like, that put this album really hard. Like there's a lot of tracks that I really fucking dug, especially the last track, Less Than Zero, which at first I was like, it's okay, but the most of the one, like, this is a perfect cap. A perfect ending cap to the album, you know, before the Jim Carrey outro. But yeah, I family love this album. I really, really dug the hell out of this. This, like, if you see this in my top five, don't be surprised.
Yeah, this is, again, the year is still young, a lot can change, but this is already coming out of the gate as a strong contender. It's probably going to be there somewhere. I can guarantee that much. But, yeah, that basically about does it for, you know, the album roundup as a whole. Of course, there will be a link to a playlist down in the description if any of these albums or songs interested you, or at least the ones that we thought were interesting that are worth listening to. We're not going to make you listen to fucking DS forever. We're not that mean. I mean, unless any of you listening out there have ever purchased an NFT, in which case I'm gonna make a special version of the playlist just for you. It's just all of DS forever. five times over. But
you push a piece many times, you'll be sick of it. Wait, that does not wait. That shit. Yeah, wait, you know, fuck it, just go on. Fuck that
joke. Yeah. So, well, I mean, to be fair, it's a funnier joke than anything associated with NFTs.
True.
But yeah, so you know, look down there for the music and stuff. Of course, follow us on Twitter at SurrealRezzo, like us on Facebook, visit SurrealResolution.com. You pretty much know where we always are. So, thank you for listening this month. We'll, of course, be back with the album roundup for the month of February 2022, you know, next time around, and we'll just keep at it with the weekly business until then. So, until next time, Xenoblade Chronicles 3, yeah!